Now, last year, there was a fellow who came to Donegal and he was here to recover from serious surgery, serious back surgery. It was on his spine, actually. And he ended up writing a book. And the fellow in question is Michael Harding, the author and playwright and columnist with the Irish Times. And sort of an unusual book, or a book with a difference in that he wrote letters to people who had profoundly affected him along the way. Mentors and lovers and old friends, most alive, but some dead. And the book is called All the Things Left Unsaid. Michael Harding joins us now. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good, good. Very good indeed.
That's two of us.
Yes, good. I'm glad to hear that you're well, because you've been through a tough time with, you had serious surgery last year. And
I was in Bowmount. I had two operations. They were tough enough because they were the first time, I suppose, like at my age, 69 years of age, you start to think you're fairly fragile, you know, and there's mechanical things go wrong and they're able to fix them. But you say to yourself, eventually, whether it's in another 10 or 20 years, like eventually mortality will hit you, you know, there's something waiting for you at the end of the line. And that was tough and feeling fragile. So because I love Donegal, I live in Leitrim. I'm from Cavan. Yeah. But everybody knows I have a great love for Donegal. And so I established myself in the Gaeltacht in West Donegal there for 12 months. And I started reflecting on, you know, the shortness of life. And I started thinking about friends who had passed away. And I started thinking of how I hadn't said things to them, you know. I regretted, like, that I hadn't told some people how much I loved them, really. Mm. How much I appreciated them and how grateful I was for all they had done for me. It's kind of a very simple idea, but it just flowed out of me. I just, one person after another, they came into the house like they were, it was like ghosts coming into the house, and they were saying, why don't you write a letter to me? And, the priest who officiated at my wedding passed away suddenly last year. And the woman who was bridesmaid passed away. And the best man passed away. And do you know what I mean? Like, there was a couple of those deaths that they were very sudden and they were very unexpected. And they left me feeling sorry or regretful that I didn't have a chance to say more to those people, to say to them, like, how grateful I was for all they had done for me in life. And
when you mentioned 69, I was thinking, well, I mean, would you really be reflecting too much when you're just 69? But then when you outlined it like that and you say that the best man and the bridesmaid and the priest who were at your wedding had all passed away, it would bring things into focus. And it did for you.
Well, I suppose it was a shock to me because, like, the woman, Mary McPartlin, she's a great singer. She worked in T.G. Cahir. And she was a wonderful, gifted artist, but she was very generous to other people in the creative world. You know, she helped other singers and she helped other musicians. And she helped me hugely as a writer. You know, she organized a play tour for me one time. We toured all Ireland with a play and we went to the Edinburgh Festival and we went to London. And, like, Mary McPartlin was the woman who did that. But she was younger than me. And so when somebody that's younger than you passes away, it really focuses your attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and like the man who officiated at our wedding when I was getting married 30 years ago, he was the same age as me, and he passed away. So, like, you know, I would like to think that I could have another couple of decades. If I last as long as my mother, I'd be here till I'm nearly 100, but... But I think it's a good idea to think about how short life is because, to be honest with you, John, it makes me feel like I enjoy life more because I realise how precious it is to be alive. It's a miracle to be here, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it is good to be aware of where you are in life, but not maybe to dwell on it too much.
Ah, absolutely.
In this book, Michael, you write, and for some people, it might be maybe one letter, and then for others there's a whole series of letters, and you know, and there's a few in particular that you just sort of keep going back to. Letters, I can stress that, you know, were never sent.
Well, the letters really, like, I wrote to Tom Hickey. He was a great actor. He used to do Benji and the Reardons. And he was a great help to me in theatre. Like, I would have never been able to put on plays in the Abbey Theatre except that he introduced me to the kind of directors or the people that you should be working with. And I felt, you know, so grateful to him. And then there was a fellow called Bernard Loughlin, who was the director of Anna McCarrick, the Tyrone Guthrie Centre. And again, I applied to go there, as one does as a young man, to get a residency so that I could write. And once I got in there, once I got through the door, it meant that, well, I went on to write three novels in about a decade. So, like, these were people that helped me in my life. I never expected they would die kind of suddenly. And so I never really went to them and said, you know something, I'm really grateful for all you did for me in my life. And other than that, I suppose there's good letters in the book, you know, to old lovers, and there's a letter to an old school friend, because I have a friend that he's always ringing me up, and I never give him enough time. You know, it's one of these friends you take for granted. And he'd ring you up, and he's always got news about, you know, the way when you go to school with somebody and they keep, you know, they ring you up and they give you information as to what's happening. So the whole thing is just a collection of letters. But I wrote them, I didn't write them really for the people they're sent to. I wrote them like as a therapy for myself. I thought it would be a healthy thing to do, to sit down and be alone and walk along, you know, the ocean and just be grateful for life and just in your mind send out a few messages to people of gratitude for life. And that's basically what the book is about.
Well, it works wonderfully, but did it work? Did it work well for you? Did it have the desired effect for you?
Well, I'm leaping out of my skin. I'm as happy as Larry, so it must have worked.
Okay,
thanks be to God. Yeah,
and the surgery worked as well, despite the fact that you're terrified of hospitals. You got in and out of it and through it.
I got in and out of it and through it. I had a big artery was going the wrong way apparently, and sending the blood the wrong way in the body. And if it had continued as it was, you'd lose the power of your legs and you'd lose the power of your organs, and then you'd just fade away, you know. They had to fix it, and they tried the first time to fix it, and it kind of didn't succeed. And that was in the middle of COVID, so I had about 6 months. I was very scared because COVID was going around, and I had to do the operation again. They did it the second time anyway in March of 2020, and they had a great success. And they fixed everything up and left me a very, very happy and very grateful man. Again, like, my gratitude to the doctor, the consultants, and to the nurses and staff in Beaumont Hospital, it has no limit. I would not be walking around if it wasn't for them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, too, that Donegal played a part in all of this, because you took to the wilds and then took to these letters. And I suppose, Michael, there's something about writing letters, and even if it's just a regular letter to, you know, someone that you haven't been in touch with in a while, and let's face it, we're out of the habit of writing letters. It's at the very most, it's an email, or it could be just a text message or a WhatsApp or something. But writing a letter, there's something that when you get immersed into it, there's something very personal about it, and depending on who it is, you can be very, very open and very honest and express things, I suppose, in a way that you wouldn't if you were writing about them as such.
Yeah. And there's also something, even if you weren't writing a letter, like, I mean, those letters that were written by me are, in some sense, a kind of an act of gratefulness. But you can do that even without writing the letter. Like, if I go down to the supermarket and someone behind the till says, "How are you doing today, Michael?" And I say, "Well, do you know something? Thanks be to God, I'm so happy to be alive." If I say that, I actually feel better because I said it. That is, the effect of gratefulness actually improves your own mental health. If you can kind of find one thing every day to be grateful for, even if it's just your health, even if it's just the fact that you're able to walk around the place, if you're able to think of one thing that you're grateful for, you will be a better person every evening. Like, you will feel better. And the other thing, of course, is that you'll make somebody else feel better, because if you're talking to somebody, as I say, at the tail end, you know, some supermarket, and they work hard and they'd be worn out there sometimes. You'd see them at the tills and their long day is worn out. And you say something pleasant to them, like how grateful you are to be alive, or you thank them for helping you with some busier messages. You're making somebody else happy as well. It's very, very simple, you know, to live a happy life. That's what I think. Fear simple. Yeah. It's not complicated at all.
And that's something very simple, because it's just replying honestly to someone, and it also shows that you're listening rather than just giving them a token grand.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, like, we all have aches and pains, and I know that, and we all have worries and anxieties, and we can get overwhelmed by them. But if you can, and it's not to, you know, it's not to deny the problems. Like, it's not a question of denying the problems that we might have financially or health-wise or going into the winter and worrying about wars and this, that and the other. They're all real things that it's valid for us to be worried about. But somewhere in that, if you can find just 10 minutes to think of something that you have, some condition in your life that makes you grateful, even just being alive, then you'll have done yourself an enormous amount of good.
Well, that's what I'll take away from this. And if someone wants to delve further, the book is called All the Things Left Unsaid, Confessions of Love and Regret. Michael Harding.
And John,
yes.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I just heard this morning, Hachette were tweeting, my publishers were tweeting this morning. Mm. It came out last week, and it has got into the bestseller list at number one. So I'm absolutely, and they're thrilled about that.
Brilliant.
It's selling like the hot cakes.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Well, a lot of your books say it might not go straight in at number one, but they end up there. So this is gone.
And that's why I'm grateful for that too, I can tell you. Okay. You spent 20 or 30 years as a writer, nobody ever heard of you. And then all of a sudden, people start reading you. But you're absolutely great at any time. Well, to be read as a writer, you know.
Many more years of great and happy writing. Thanks, Michael. The best luck with it.
Thank you, George. Thanks very much.
Take care.